Church, we continue on our exposition of Scripture. Turn with me to Matthew chapter
9.
We will read together from verse 18 to
26.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 to 26. The title of the message this morning, The Death of Jairus' Daughter. And it reads as following. While Jesus was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him, and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, If I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. The good God bless the reading of his word. Church, we all know, we have seen this time after time. Jesus is a miracle working God. And in this passage before us, he continues to prove that he is the one who was to come into the world, the one promised by God to come and heal the diseased people and bring to life those who are dead and make people well. The promised Messiah who was to come into the world. Before us in our passage, we have two miracles described. A woman who was bleeding for 12 years is healed. And Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old, is raised from the dead. And both of these miracles are very important for us to consider. So what we'll do, we'll look at them one at a time. And this morning, we are looking at Jesus bringing a dead girl to life. Death upon the human soul was pronounced by God as humankind in Adam fell into sin. Death is scary. Death is sorrowful upon those who remain behind as their loved one is taken away. Death caused the mightiest of men to tremble in fear. Of course, when you watch your favorite soap operas, the soapies, death is just a metaphor. In this one called Days of Our Lives, the man called Stephen, he dies and he comes back, and some died and they all come back. And when they die on TV and you watch this soap, you don't have to worry, you know, they will come back.
How should we the whole days of our lives?
When you watch movies and your general stories on national TV, death is a game.
How should we the movie?
They make as if death is just a fast-forward button for everyone, doesn't matter who is, leading to a better life. In our culture today, death leads to celebration. Death is celebrated regardless who has died. To some, death is an answer from a sorrowful life or bad relationships in this world, or death. But church, death is not a game. In John 11, where we read this morning, verse 35, when Lazarus was dead and his family was covered with sorrows and grief, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus wept. Death is serious. Especially if it's your loved one who has passed on. Death is sorrowful. Death is serious. Before us, we have a loving Father crying out to Jesus in verse number
18.
My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she shall live. That's how sorrowful and touching death is. It caused mighty men to tremble. The question is there any consolation? So the first thing I want us to consider is the faith of the grieving father. In verse number 18. Because faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly what drove this man to come to Jesus. He had faith on the Son of God. He believed that Jesus is the Son of God, the incarnate God Himself. He believed that Jesus is above all things. In Him, all things hold together. The Bible tells us that He came and He kneels before Jesus. He humbled Himself. He prays to Him. Listen to his prayer. Come, place your hands on her and she shall live. This man begs Jesus to restore life. This man has come to believe, he has come to his senses that Jesus and Jesus alone has the power to give life. Jesus and Jesus alone has power over death. And friends, of course, this man must have heard of Jesus' miraculous work of the past. What I want you to see is that this act of courage to come to Jesus can only be an act of faith. And as you read your Bible, you can see this act of faith is equal to the woman who comes to Jesus who was bleeding for 12 years. This is an act of faith. I wonder what we have heard about Jesus. This man had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that hearing brought forth faith in him, and this faith caused him to trust and believe and depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the man of faith, this man, knelt before Jesus. He prostrated himself before the King of Kings. The man of faith will humble himself before Jesus. He begged Jesus. He comes to ask for the impossible, humanly speaking. He wants Jesus to break loose the chains of death. He wants Jesus to do what was never done before in his generation. So this man did not care of the impossible task, it may seem, the impossible task at hand. His faith was strong enough to look beyond human expectation and human power. Church, the bottom line is, we can ask the impossible from Jesus. Why? Because in him there is nothing impossible except sin. Of course, this, friends, doesn't mean now we must pray to Jesus to raise our loved one who had died. Yes, he has power to do it. But he has nothing to prove. He has nothing left to prove to anyone. We know he has done these things. He raised people from the dead to prove he is the Son of God. We all know that. He doesn't have to prove it again. So he will not raise someone from the dead just because we are praying sincerely. All that you need to remember, it is appointed for men to die once, and after that is judgment. But what we see from this grieving father is that we must be anxious about nothing. We must be anxious about nothing, but through humble prayer, we must bring all our anxiety, everything unto God. When we are in a very difficult situation, we should always come to Jesus. In difficult times, we come to pray to Jesus. In difficult times, we need to believe that Jesus alone can help us. In difficult times, nothing is too difficult for Jesus. We must just have faith for the impossible. And I want you to see, Jesus was pleased by the faith of this man. Look at verse 19. It says there in verse 19, and Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. What does this tell you? There is hope when we have faith in Jesus. What does this tell you? Faith moves the Lord's heart. That's what you need to pray for. You need to pray for faith. Why? So that you can trust only on Jesus, because through faith we can trust and depend in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that you can find Him and Him alone to be the one you can come and cry unto on your difficult times.
Have
faith in Christ, even for the impossible. Secondly, I want you to look at Jesus' perspective on the death. How does Jesus view death? We're going to skip. We're going to look at verse 23 to 24. Next week we'll go back to verse
21 and 22.
For now we're only looking at this dead girl. We will go back to the woman who was bleeding. That's another story of another time. But look here at Jesus' perspective on the death. The Bible says, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house, and he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go out, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. "Go out, the girl is not dead, but sleeping." We're looking at Jesus' perspective on death and those who have died. Because what matters is how Jesus views something. What Jesus says about something, that's all that matters. So at the home of Jairus, there were people crying and praying. There was commotion. Please notice in your Bible, it says, flute prayers were taking on. So there were people playing flutes, and there were hired people to moan. It's one of those funerals where people come just to cry, but they don't know what they are crying for. They are hired people to cry. Like in our day, you just hire people to come cry. They are used to situations like this because they've got a different perspective on death. But Jesus got a different perspective. So there was commotion. That's how serious and powerful death is. Confusing the people, confusing the parents, confusing the family, confuse the neighbors, confuse the world. Yet that's not how Jesus looked at death. He looked at it from divine point of view. Why would Jesus look at death that way? Because Jesus created death. He knows its limitation and end. The Bible says, God created all things through Christ. All things are created through Christ. And in Genesis we are told that God said to Adam, "For the day that you eat of the tree forbidden from you, you shall surely die." God, in other words, knew about death before Adam knew about death. That is why Jesus looked at this thing that seems victorious, he looked at it as something and nothing but just a sleep. unconquerable, victorious death is just a slip before the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that will just pass away. Listen to Jesus himself in John chapter 5, verse 24.
Verse 24.
Jesus. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life." So Jesus says such things because he has a better perspective on death. In other words, friends, death is not the end. It is temporal. It's a temporal pause from one reality to another. And that is the correct perspective on death. And that is not because death is nothing, friends. We are not saying death is nothing. But as sad and sorrowful death is, in reality, it's something that is actually nothing. In reality, it is like the common thing that's happened to the condition of our bodies and minds, which occurs every night. Our eyes are closed. Our conscience is temporarily suspended. But for a night. And after that, you awake. So it's death. In the eyes of the Lord, it is something temporal. Listen to Jesus in John 11, verse 11, where we just read it this morning. Lazarus is dead. And he's been dead for days. And the Bible says he is smelling already. Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." He is fallen asleep. That is how Jesus viewed death. But notice our own human perspective of death from the passage. We always think that death is victorious. The Bible says the crowd laughed at Jesus. The majority of the people mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. The common man, they thought death was victorious forever. They laughed. They thought that Jesus perhaps was denying the reality of death.
Friends,
Jesus was not denying the reality of death. Death is real, but to him is a slip. Jesus is not denying the reality of death like the quacks out there who will pray and pray and shout saying somebody is not dead when somebody is dead. You see, our general problem as people, we like to take serious things very light and like to take light things very serious. And in the process of doing all that, we forget that Jesus is different from us. He is not a mere man. Jesus has the right perspective on death. He does not look at things the way we look at things. Jesus does not only see your current situation. He sees beyond the situation. He sees the end from the beginning. Avoid what is happening here. They misunderstood. And it's common today to misunderstand Jesus Christ. But praise be the Lord. Jesus does not only want people to understand him. He wants to lead people to believe so that they may trust and have faith on him. So that is what he's doing here. He wants the people to believe the right perspective about death. The Bible says he went in and took her by hand, and the girl arose. The correct perspective about death is that death is temporal. But what does this thing further communicate to those out there? The mind that is lost in sin and all the things of the world. What does this communicate? Listen carefully and tell them. Death is not an escape route. You cannot just press a fast forward button and die. You cannot just die in order to run away from this world's problems. You're going to solve your problems, you're not going to die. Pay your debts, don't kill yourself. Because death is not a solution, but a sleep. In a twinkle of an eye, you'll awake again. Friends, that, like I said, does not mean we must not be sorrowful when someone dies. But the Bible says we must not grieve like those who have no hope. Jesus is our hope. He has the correct perspective on death. Regardless of the reality of death, those who die in Christ are just asleep. They are asleep until the consummation of the kingdom of God. That is the correct perspective about death. The third thing, I want us to see Jesus' power over death. We have seen his perspective. That's what he's saying. He's saying death is just a sleep. Now he's proving to us that death is a sleep. Jesus' power over death. This is what caused us to run to Jesus. Because Jesus alone has the power over death. Verse 25 and 26. But when the crowd had been put out or outside, he went in and took her by hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went through all that district. The girl arose. Friends, notice Jesus did not want spectators. Jesus does not believe in unnecessary power display. He does not believe in putting up a show to show his power or to become popular because of the power. Anybody who makes a power display of anything is not an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ does not put unnecessary power display. Told them to go out. But I want you to notice as well. Jesus went where the crisis was. If you have power to raise the dead, you go where the dead is. When you have power to heal the sick, you go where the sick are. Jesus went where the crisis was. That is true power, friends. He went and touched the body. Jesus is different. In our culture today, people will not just touch any dead body unless that dead body belongs to the family and it must be a close relative. But Jesus, a stranger, came into the house, touched a dead body. And Jesus touch is the most important touch. Please notice what happened. When he touched the dead body, life entered the body. Life entered the body. Friends, Matthew does not see any difference whether Jesus said Tabitha Kumi, as Mark puts it. Mark says in Mark chapter 5 verse 41, Jesus touched the girl and said, Tabitha Kumi, arise my girl. That is true. But Matthew does not want to put more emphasis in the word. Matthew believes that even if Jesus didn't say the word, it was the touch that raised the girl to life. Jesus has a powerful touch, friends. Whatever he touches comes to life.
So,
I remember another songwriter says, he touched me and made me whole. Oh, the wonderful joy that floods my soul. He touched me. Something wonderful happened. He touched me. That is the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. He touched me. That's what happens when lives come into a dead body. When life comes into a dead body,
In the same way,
when you're dead in your sin and trespasses, when the life of Christ comes to you, death escapes the body. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So what he wants people to know here, he has the power to bring life. That's all he wanted. Jesus didn't want more attention on the dead. And the death itself.
He
didn't want attention to the mourners who are playing nice flute and praying. Attention must be on him. He who raised the dead. Just imagine the sorrows and the pain that when that Jairus went through when he was told his daughter was dead. Imagine the sorrows that consumed this man's heart and brought him to his knees. But now look at the joy. Look at the joy that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. His daughter is raised from the dead. Regardless of the fact that the people around did not have faith in Jesus, they laughed. But when Jairus had faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, the dead was raised to life. Jesus' power does not need your faith to help him. Hallelujah. He raises the dead. Regardless of your faith. But you must have faith. Because the faith pleases him. He brought joy in the house of the dead. But he also left the people with a great testimony. The Bible says in verse 26, the people took this report to the ends of the world, to the community around. He came to a house of a dead girl. He can come to any house. He came to a house of a dead girl, sorrow turned into joy. Darkness turned into light. Mourning turned into dancing. Not the fake dancing that was happening. Real joy. Someone is raised from the dead. Now the whole world had to learn that Jesus had power over death. We can trust Jesus. Jesus raises the dead. He raised them to a better life. I'm happy that Jesus does not raise the dead today so that the dead they come back into the sinful and decaying world, but he raised them to a glorious life. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says when he encouraged the church. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter
4.
Listen to this great encouragement about those who are dead. Listen to this great encouragement that reveals the power of Jesus to raise the dead. Chapter number
4, verse 13 and 14.
Brothers or brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. But since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep.
Read verse 18.
That's what he says. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The apostle is not saying that death must encourage us. But our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ must be that which encourages us. Our hope and belief and faith that Jesus will raise the dead will have to encourage us in these troubling times. We must have joy. Not because someone is dead, but because Jesus raises the dead. We must wait with eager expectation, anticipating that glorious day that is coming, where we shall see that power in display, Jesus raising the dead. So Paul says, Jesus is the one unto whom we must put our trust and faith. Let the knowledge of his trustworthiness encourage you. Church, Jesus' ultimate goal is that the whole world will have to know that he has the power over death. The whole world must know that there is none like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the testimony that he left with his family. That is the testimony he left with this community. And now it is upon us to leave a testimony in this community, telling the community Jesus has power over death. Here is a few lessons as I close. Listen to these things. But before I do that, let me just read John chapter number 6, verse 40 for you. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, showing that he has power over death. John 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father. What is the will? That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I, me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I will raise him on the last day. I'm not going to send an angel. I, Jesus, will raise him. Jesus has the power. We run to him. We trust in him. We hope in him. He leaves us with a great testimony. He is victorious. More than conqueror. Is conquering the unconquered dead. But here's a lesson as I close. You need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even for the impossible. Ask of Jesus anything. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. Jairus here was not ashamed that the people will think that he was a crazy man. He's asking things that are impossible. He didn't care. He had faith. Ask Jesus anything. Trust in him for the dead. He is the one who has power to raise the dead. And I want you to remember, we will all die. If Jesus does not return soon, we will all die. The question that remains, where have you put your hope? Where have you put your trust? Unto whom do you depend to be raised from the dead? Dead is just as good as asleep to those who are in Christ. So what must you do? Rest in peace in Christ. That's what you need. Because death cannot resist the power of Christ. But you need that power within you today. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. There is nothing impossible with Jesus. He feels every bit of your pain. He longs to help you. He alone has the power to help you when none can. But also, he has the perfect wisdom to always do exactly what is best for you. Trust in Jesus. Depend on Jesus. Jesus is the power. He's the only hope. The truth. The way. The life. He brings to life. That's what we see. Let us continue to trust in him. And we will not be disappointed. Let's pray.
Mudima na lmata, wena mudima tepeha, wena mudima kanete ana lmata, mudima sebi ana lmata, mudima lipu, una lmata, au utu seba au bashleng divinta bona, ubabe bupilom, ore bata ba sebi bata ba tepelohu ena, ere kade tazilo bachwa le fatilena, bata ba bele tepo kanete bata ubona kanete kuena. Atabatosa, Kamoya Wahao, Ohalala. The Balo Rona, Jovana Lamata, Mantuana had the Pilunta Rona Habe Tuana, Ufficiella, the Berry Copanaloe, the Balo Rona, and Sotestam Rena. Amen.